Log Talk Radio.
That'd be creepy to hear on your honeymoon. Oh my goodness. Good evening and welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show here along with...
I've been waiting in my car since 11 o'clock last night in the Burger King line, and I still don't have my 36-cent Whopper. Dave Binkley from Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And we're here with...
This is CW to persevere and make sure everyone understands shotgun weddings are still quite fashionable.
Yes.
Wow.
We had to get here somehow. We had to get here somehow. Next thing you know, we'll be making you work.
Oh, stop, stop.
I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. Good old Bob and Fogsbane are in the chat. Good old Bob reports about 2 hours ago. Gar wrote on Facebook, join me tonight for another adventure into horrible horror starring Gar the Ghoul. So that is good news.
Yeah, I did talk to him a bit today, and he was working on it, and he was really hoping to be able to make it, and it looks like he will. Fantastic.
Well done.
It'll be right after we're done here, at least with the live portion of our show, at 8 p.m. Eastern. And we are still doing the honeymoon thing. Three great tales last night. CBS Radio Mystery Theater tonight.
Yes. I guess I better be looking that up before we get there. Yes. Another great tale from E.G. Marshall, Hi Brown, and the great cast at the CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yeah, we even have some bonus material. We didn't have time for it yesterday. Perhaps today. We'll see how things shake out as the night goes on with strange honeymoons tonight. It's actually rather deadly.
Deadly. Deadly honeymoon tonight. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's the title of our story. And I don't know. I had a pretty strange honeymoon with my first wife. Oh. Oh, God. And the thing is, we weren't married long. There were signs. There were signs it wasn't going to work. We fought like hell. I don't know if I thought getting married would make it better. I was young and dumb. But we were down in Florida and arguing about some crap, and she's trying to jump out of the car. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? I'm going to get out and call my dad. He'll give me a ride home. In Ohio? Are you nuts? I'll take you wherever you want to go. Don't jump out of the car, you idiot.
My first honeymoon dinner, after, you know, we did all the thing, and I tell you what, my first practice marriage, it was 17 degrees below zero, if that doesn't tell you something. Now, that was not including the wind chill. I had relatives that came from Lima, Ohio, to come to my wedding. Their car did not warm up until from Lima all the way to Mansfield. We're talking almost an hour and a half before their car would even warm up. And so if that wasn't a sign from God, I don't know what would be. And then our first one, we went to Niagara Falls for the honeymoon, and we hadn't eaten and everything. You know how crazy it gets and all that. So we took off for the honeymoon, but we came across this great place, a UFO restaurant up in Canada. Oh my God, it was so great! It was like a drive-in. It was just absolutely fantastic. It was the best part of the honeymoon. But
I'm sorry.
Hey, never underestimate a really good hamburger. That's all I say. Sorry,
this is a public service announcement from www.iamgoingtostaysingle.com.
You are wiser than the sum of us. And I'd say that if Gar was here too. You're still wiser than the sum of us.
At this time, some of us, all of us, yeah, yeah.
Now, similarly, Dave, with that same said first wife, while we were still dating prior to being married, some young kid cut us off and smashed up. Oh, man, it was a nice Firebird I had, too. Smashed it up. I kissed the windshield. I had blood streaming down my face and stuff. And years later, I said, yep, that was God saying, get out of the car! Any way you can, I'll pull you out! And he almost did.
God gave us all kinds of warnings, but do we listen? Absolutely not.
No. No, I nope. But that's okay. Things worked out well in the end.
If you say so.
Oh, yeah. Well, for me.
Wow.
Well, it's like God always says, I will forever love the woman I married. I just don't care very much for the one that I divorced.
That's right. Coming from a man who was married once.
Yep, yep.
So, there you have it. All this cheerful talk about honeymoons. How about that?
Oh, yes.
Are we encouraging you at all, CW? Are we? Or discouraging you? I don't know.
Good old Bob writes, as this confirmed bachelor wanders around the junkyard of marriage wounded wrecks. We have the best damn listeners, do we not?
We do. We do.
Yes, and so much for that sponsor for, let's see, what was that sponsor for? Oh, yes, weddings.com. Yeah, I think we can kiss that one off.
Yeah, I think we won't be up for their sponsorship. Yeah.
Yes. And eHarmony.com.
Dot carm? Okay.
Yes. Yes, there was this guy when I was doing cable, real quick story, and then we're going to get to CBS Radio Mystery Theater. When I was shooting Spook Show over at Amherst City Cable, there was this octogenarian karaoke singer named Carm, and he was horrible. He could carry a tune. And oh, my God. We'd be laying on the couch waiting for our turn in the studio, you know, to use the camera time and what have you. We're just holding our ears, laying there moaning. And his name was Carm. So when we started doing, we did a spoof of eHarmony.com called eHarmony.com with like losers asking for a date, you know. Oddly, I got it. Oddly, I did a few of those. No. I think you've seen them, Dave. I did the Jerry Lewis one, and then there's like a Nazi guy one, and my son's like insane.
Yeah, okay.
Boy.
Yeah.
My daughter was like a goth chick, you know. Like, yeah, I don't care if you call me. Life doesn't matter, you know, stuff like that. Perfect date. Perfect date. Those were fun. Those were fun. But these are. This is another good E.B. Marshall hosted classic.
E.B.
Yes. D.B. Cooper, whatever. I don't know. D.B. Cooper. It's called Deadly Honeymoon. Then he's going to jump out of a plane.
Yep. this is a fun one here that Elspeth Eric, who has written several of the mystery theaters we've heard, she's actually didn't write this one, but was acting in this one as well. Last night we heard Mason Adams in the Inner Sanctum. Well, he's back with High Brown tonight with another CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yeah, this is a few years after the other one.
A few years, yeah. Well, because the other one was 54, and here was this was actually this was 20 years later.
Yep.
20 years later. Wow.
And in the hopes that we do have time for some bonus material, let's begin with part one, a CBS Radio Mystery Theater, Deadly Honeymoon. And it's episode number?
Episode number, believe it or not, number 19.
Ooh.
And it is from January 24th, 1974.
This is your friendly music station, KIXI, dial 91 AM or 96 FM, Seattle.
Pacific Daylight Time, 10 o'clock. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents...
Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the sound of suspense. Welcome to the fear you can hear. But mostly, welcome to the world of terrifying imagination. The story you are about to hear is a love story. But a love story which begins at the point where many love stories end. It begins after the wedding march has been played, after the vows of love and fidelity exchanged. It begins on the honeymoon in a strange and terrifying fashion.
Don't! Don't come near me! Stay away from me, Dad!
Susan, are you out of your head?
I saw her picture. Do you hear me? I found her picture on our honeymoon.
Our mystery drama, Deadly Honeymoon, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Henry Slessor and stars Betsy von Furstenberg and Michael Wager. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll return shortly with Act One.
There's nothing wrong with drinking Budweiser sip by sip, is there? Well, the Brewers of Budweiser think there's a better way. Sipping's fine if you're drinking wine. But Bud is the king of beers, a hearty drink. Look, rinse a 10 or 12-ounce glass with cold water. Then, open a can or bottle of Bud and pour it right down the middle so it kicks up a good head of foam. Now, take a big drink and then swallow big. No sips. That's how it should be done. More taste, more beer drinking enjoyment. Thanks to exclusive Beechwood aging, Budweiser has a smoothness that lets it go down especially easy. Sure, it's an expensive way to brew beer, but brewing beer right does make a difference. That's why, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
We wish to thank the many listeners who have called and written KIXI, complimenting us on the new CBS Mystery Theater, aired nightly on KIXI at 10.07 p.m. However, we have received many calls requesting the program be aired on KIXI-FM every night instead of Sundays only. One of the reasons cited is the problem many of our listeners have in receiving KIXI clearly over their AM radio because of various signal difficulties. In an effort to eliminate these signal problems, KIXI has applied for an increase in power to 50,000 watts. We need your help. If you can't sufficiently hear us, please write KIXI, 801 Pine Street, Seattle 98101. That's KIXI, 801 Pine Street, Seattle 98101. Thank you.
Story begins 36,000 feet in the air on a flight which departed from New York's Kennedy Airport and in another hour will be touching down at O'Hare Airport in Chicago. There are almost 100 passengers on this flight, but an observant stewardess is giving special attention to that handsome couple in seats 18A and 18B. Perhaps it's because all honeymooners have a special radiance.
Are you sure you wouldn't like some more coffee?
Oh, no, thanks. Not to me.
I wouldn't mind a cup.
Here you are.
Thanks.
Just ring if you need anything else.
You'd think we were the only people on this flight.
As far as I'm concerned, we are. Oh, Dan, I feel absolutely drunk with happiness. Is that a funny word for the way I feel?
No. It's a great word, Susan.
I was flying hours before we got on the plane. Oh, what time did you say we land in Chicago?
About 2:30.
Is it far from the airport to the hotel?
No, actually, it's only about a half an hour from O'Hare to downtown, about 16 miles.
Still, I don't think we'll have time to make Evanston today, do you?
Well, it might be better to go in the morning. You can call your aunt from the hotel.
Dan, you sure you don't mind going to Evanston? I mean, I just couldn't possibly be a few miles away and not see Aunt Clara. Besides, I want to show off my new husband to somebody, and she's all the family I have.
Was she your mother's sister?
No, my father's. She came east when my parents were killed in that crash. Stayed with me for a month or so. That was about the most that either one of us could stand.
She sounds like a holy terror.
Oh, no, she's just crotchety, that's all. But she'll only be more crotchety if she learns that I passed through Chicago and didn't even stop by.
Well, what kind of work are you in, Mr. Carey?
All right, now, we like to say we're management consultants, Mrs. Rowan. But we also do quite a bit of executive recruitment.
I don't understand a word of that.
Dan helps corporations find the right people for important jobs, Aunt Clara. His firm is the biggest in the field, isn't it, Dan?
Well, it's always hard to measure a business like ours.
But it has offices everywhere, doesn't it?
In most of the major cities, yes.
And now Dan is going to take over the branch in San Francisco. He's going to manage the entire thing.
Is that some kind of a promotion?
Well, of course it is.
I asked the gentleman, Susan, speak when you're spoken to.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, Mrs. Rowland, it is a promotion. Truth is, it's a job that everyone in my office has been after.
Oh, it's just worked out so beautifully for us. I mean, Dan having to move to San Francisco. We're sort of combining a business trip with a cross-country honeymoon.
And where do you go from here?
Well, we're planning to stay 2 days in Chicago, and then we're going to Dallas.
We're going across the Rio Grande into Mexico. I know a great little hotel in Monterey.
Then we're going to Las Vegas.
To gamble, I suppose.
Well, it's no fun going to Las Vegas if you don't gamble a little.
Your father never gambled for so much as a dime, Susan. That wasn't the way he made his fortune.
Well, I promise not to bankrupt the family, Aunt Clara. Anyway, we're just staying in Las Vegas overnight. And then going to Los Angeles.
3 days later, I report to work.
Thoroughly exhausted, of course.
Well, that's your idea of a honeymoon. I hope you enjoy it. Susan, I suppose lunch is almost ready. You want to help me bring it out?
Oh, yes, of course.
Kitchen's this way, in case you've forgotten.
The truth is, I have.
I'm glad to be able to talk to you alone for a minute, Susan.
Did you like Dan, Aunt Clara? Isn't he good-looking?
Older than you, isn't he?
What difference does that make?
How long did you know him?
Oh, we met at a party at the Williamsons. Do you remember my friend, Tracy Williamson?
Didn't ask you where you met. I'm asking you when.
Well, it was about 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks? Oh, for the love of heaven, Susan.
Aunt Clara, the time you know somebody isn't always the most important thing.
He's practically a stranger. How can you be sure of anything about a man you've known for 3 weeks?
From the time we met, I saw Dan every single day.
Susan, when a girl is all alone in the world, when she has independent means
of
her own...
Please, Addie, don't start in about Dan being a fortune hunter. I don't have that much money, and it's all in trust anyway. And I assure you, Dan earns enough income to take care of us both very well.
Well, I'm sorry, Susan. I know I don't have any control over what you do. You're too old for that. But I've seen something of the world, too, you know. And the most important lesson I've ever learned is never trust a stranger.
Aunt Clara, that's ridiculous. Now, can we bring out the lunch?
I don't know. I just have a feeling that Chicago wasn't all you expected it to be.
Well, we weren't there very long, Dan. And don't forget, we spent half the time with your business associates.
Oh, honey, I am sorry about that. I suppose I never should have called Bill Kincaid to say we're in town.
Should have known he'd insist on getting together.
Oh, it wasn't that bad. I just didn't know what he was talking about half the time. All those office politics.
Yes. Well, Bill loves to gossip. But you can see what I mean about the San Francisco job. Everybody in the company wanted it. They'll never get over resenting me for being picked. But I am sorry if you were bored.
It's all right, Dan, really. After all, I inflicted Aunt Clara on you.
She was okay.
Well, I know you didn't find her very friendly.
Well, why should she be? I think she's a very protective type. Anybody you married would get her jaundiced eye.
Yes. I suppose that's true enough. Dan, how long did you know Terry Williamson?
Who?
Terry, my ex-roommate. We met each other at her house. Or have you forgotten that already?
Tell you the truth, darling. I didn't know whose house I was at that night.
Oh, so Terry wasn't the one who invited you?
No. It was a man named Bob Chambers, one of the executive types. I got placed at General Utilities. Don't ask me who invited him, because I don't know.
I see. So it was all sort of roundabout.
What's the difference? Still turned out to be the best party I ever attended.
Yeah.
Hey, something matter?
Oh, no, of course not. Nothing at all. Dan, where did you say we were staying in Dallas?
It's a little hotel called the Lazy Sea. Kind of rustic, but I think you'll like it. Besides, we'll only be there one night. We'll rent a car in the morning and drive down to Monterey.
You really know all the offbeat places, don't you?
Well, when you travel around enough, I guess you begin looking for them.
You haven't done that much traveling on the job, have you?
Huh? Well, no, not that much. Say, do you know the name of the airport in Dallas?
I forget.
It's called Love Field. Isn't that a great name for honeymooners?
Yes. Starting to worry.
No, I had a little trouble with the phone lines back to New York, but I got through okay.
Everything all right?
Yeah, sure, everything's fine. Hey, you look a little strange, though.
Oh, no, I'm all right. I had a drink while I was waiting for you.
Say, you better watch that tequila. It sneaks up on you like a bandito.
Actually, something sort of funny happened.
What do you mean?
Dan, when we were in Chicago in that restaurant, I forget the name of it.
The place you went to with Bill?
Yes, when you and your friend were talking about all the office politics back in New York, I saw this man looking at us.
What man?
Well, he was at the bar. I'm not even sure why I noticed him. He was wearing this plaid raincoat. I remember wondering if it had started to rain.
I guess you were just bored with all our talk.
Anyway, I saw him turn to look at us.
Probably to look at you. Can't blame him for that.
The funny thing is, as soon as you turned around, he got up very quickly and left.
Susan, I don't remember seeing anyone in a plaid raincoat. And I'm afraid I don't see anything unusual about it.
Well, I guess I didn't either. I probably wouldn't have given it another thought, but I think I saw that same man here again today.
In Monterey? Oh, you're kidding.
Well, I can't swear it was him. I didn't get a good look at his face the first time. All I really noticed was the coat.
And you saw the coat again? Is that it?
Yes. He was carrying it over his arm.
Oh, darling. You know the story about the airport truck?
Airport truck? No.
Well, this guy on a plane looks out the window and sees one of those little red airport trucks. You know, fueling the plane, bringing food aboard, something like that. Anyway, the plane takes off from New York and lands in Chicago. Another little red truck comes out to meet it. The guy next to him says, "Hey, we made good time, didn't we?" And he says, "Yeah, but that little red truck really made time." Well, I can see that I didn't marry a great audience.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dan. It bothered me a little.
Oh, forget it. And speaking of airports, next up, the City of Angels.
I wonder if they have this week's digest. Oh, I see it.
Excuse me.
Yes?
You're Mrs. Daniel Carey, aren't you?
Why, yes, I am. Do I know you?
No, Mrs. Carey, but I know you. saw your husband leaving the hotel about half an hour ago. Are you planning on meeting him?
Wait a minute. I've seen you before.
Have you?
You're the man with the coat, the plaid raincoat.
Well, you happen to be right. I do own a plaid raincoat, but with this nice sunny weather...
Excuse me.
Look, Mrs. Carey, I know it seems as if I'm following
yes,
you.
Yes, it does.
Well, okay, it's true. But I've had a reason.
Such as?
Could we talk about it someplace? There's a coffee shop in the hotel.
I'm sorry. I don't even know who you are.
Maybe it would help if I introduced myself. My name is Harrington. Lieutenant Gail Harrington, attached to New York City Police Department.
Police?
That's right, Mrs. Carey. So you see, what I have to discuss with you is police business.
But what have I done?
It's nothing you've done. It concerns your husband. And what he might do.
Looks like Dan and Susan Carey's honeymoon is in for a surprise. Or perhaps more than one. Maybe Susan will soon wonder if her Aunt Clara wasn't right about a number of things, including her cynical advice about trusting no strangers. We'll find out about the new stranger in Susan's life when I return shortly with Act Two.
Tale of the ball and chain at Kellogg's Special K presents Last Tango in Pittsburgh.
There I was at Raoul's All Right Tango Lounge.
My little orchid, will you tango with me?
With Raoul?
You're a splendid dancer. But what was that?
I was what?
That sound effect.
Oh, I'm a few pounds overweight, and this ball and chain points out how my extra weight can get in the way.
I'm pointing you back to your chair.
Our heroine decided to lose that extra weight. She exercised and ate smart at every meal, starting with a Special K breakfast. A bowl of Special K skim milk, tomato juice, and coffee. It's less than 240 calories, 99% fat-free, and 100% delicious. After a while, she was rid of the ball and chain and back at Raoul's.
Darling, you're looking fantastic.
What a happy ending.
What ending? We're just getting started.
Raoul, get lost.
Your happy ending could begin with the Kellogg Special K breakfast.
And that's another tale of the fallen chain.
Ah, boy. This, sowing the seeds. Yep. Sowing the seeds of doubt on the brand new spouse here on Erie House Radio.
You know, that's what my practice wife said to me. She said, you had lost, Raoul, you know.
Oh, well, Raoul? Anyway. She Raoul? Called you Raoul?
Yes, you can easily be mistaken for a dark, swarthy gentleman.
Oh, yes. If you take your glasses off, yeah, I could easily be mistaken for that. Or in the complete darkness, I could be mistaken for that. Yes.
Yeah, there you are.
Somebody turn off those lights.
Somebody turn off the sun.
Oh, my.
There we go.
But that is definitely the police officer, the detective. Detective is Mason Adams. That voice is absolutely unmistakable.
That is. It's just one of... It was just like Norman Rose on here as well as back in the 50s. His friends called him the voice of God. And he got to play God a couple times in the Mystery Theater as well. That was pretty cool. But, there's some voices that are pretty much unmistakable, and Mason Adams has one of those.
Voice of God, an erstwhile Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Oh. And just for the trivia buffs out there, does anyone know who was considered at one time during, I believe it was World War II, the voice of doom?
The voice of
the
doom.
The voice of doom?
Need a hint?
Yes.
I need lots of hints.
Da 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 or Dun, 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 dun. He was on The Canadian Voice of Doom.
Oh, the Canadian Voice of Doom.
I can
see
that,
because
he did have a very good, rich voice.
Oh, yeah.
I can see that. I can see that.
Anybody who ever heard his song Ringo could tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
Or Rango, for that matter.
Rango. No, Rango was Tim Conway.
I thought it was...
Now,
was
Johnny
Depp.
Tim Conway.
I thought Rango was Johnny Depp.
Well, I don't know. I know he was Tonto. I didn't know about Rango.
Yeah, Lizard.
Oh, okay.
The animated thing, Rango.
Yeah. Points for good old Bob. It's not Bill Murrow, but Bill Murrow was a... Is he, good old Bob, are you referring to the broadcaster, Edward R.?
Ah, Edward R. Murrow, yes. What an amazing... He went over to London during the Blitzkrieg, lowered a microphone out the window so people could hear London being attacked while he was in one of the buildings. You know, wow.
That's a lot of guts.
And, no kidding. And he was one of the few people to take on McCarthy when he was at
McCarthy during the right. Yeah. So finally, people in Congress started standing up against him. Finally.
Absolutely. But, yeah, that's a trivia question I had for today. But that was Lorne Greene, the voice of doom. Sorry.
No, oh,
not to be
you.
Sorry. We love your input. That's why you're here.
Thank you.
It's always appreciated. That's why we adopted you.
Wait, I thought we kidnapped her in the mall. That's what she said.
I was walking
in the mall and someone kidnapped me.
Yeah, man. There I was standing right in front of Hot Topic deciding, should I buy that Thundercats t-shirt or should I get the Suicide Squad? Oh, then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, man.
Those mean men.
Yeah. Even lost my Hot Topic coupon, too.
No.
There's not a windowless van in this story, is there?
not so far.
God.
Did I forget to mention I have three cousins that work in D.C.? FBI,
oops.
CIA, NSA, and... One's a postal worker, too. Was that four? I think it was four. Anyway.
Whoops.
Back the van back up, Dale.
Yep.
Beep.
Oh, if I keep gaining weight, it's going to hear that when I back up, regardless what I'm in. Let us continue with this exciting story. Now, so far, I haven't heard anything that made me question the guy. But let's see. There could be more. As we continue with Deadly Honeymoon.
Pleasant, cheerful atmosphere of a coffee shop in a large Los Angeles hotel. Newlywed Susan Carey finds herself facing a man she has never seen before. A man whose solemn eyes look at her over a steaming cup of coffee and seem to warn her of nightmares to come. But so far, Lieutenant Gail Harrington of the New York Police Department is merely asking questions.
How long have you been married now?
Only about 10 days.
Was it a long engagement? Did you know your husband for some time before?
No, not very long.
Well, could you be more specific? How long ago did you meet him? And where?
Well, it's a month now, just about that.
A month? Hmm. Then you really don't know much about him, do you?
Oh, you and Aunt Clara.
Beg pardon?
Lieutenant, will you please tell me what this is about? Has my husband committed some crime? Is that what you're implying?
Oh, I didn't say that, Mrs. Carey. But believe me, it would be helpful to both of us if you could just tell me a little bit about the circumstances.
You know, I don't see why this has to be so one-sided.
Now, please bear with me.
All right. I met Dan at a party at a friend's house about a month ago. We talked a lot. We liked each other. We started dating. I saw him every single day.
What business did he tell you, is it?
You make it sound as if he lied to me.
No, I didn't mean to do that.
He's a management consultant. I know he is. He's just gotten a very important job in San Francisco, head of the entire office. We're going there tomorrow.
So that was the purpose of the trip?
Yes.
But since you've been married 10 days, I gather it's a honeymoon as well.
Well, naturally it is.
Yes, naturally.
Lieutenant.
Miss Carey, do you know if your husband was ever married before?
Married? No.
Are you really certain?
Now, wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that Dan's a bigamist or something?
No, Mrs. Carey, certainly not that.
Then what is it?
I've got to tell you, but you have to understand one thing. Now, I am not assigned to this case anymore. My interest is strictly unofficial. I may be completely mistaken, but you're the only one who can prove it one way or another.
Prove what?
About whether your husband ever called himself Don Crawford. And once, 4 years ago, David Chase. See? All the same initials, like Dan Carey.
You are saying he's a criminal?
Not just a criminal, Mrs. Carey. A wife killer.
You're crazy.
I hope so. Believe me, I do. Let me start at the beginning. If you still think I'm crazy, by the time I'm finished, I'll be happy to buy you that coffee and go on my way. But if you think I'm not, if you have any doubts, then I want you to tell me so and let me help you.
All right. Go on. I know you're wrong, but go on.
I first heard of Don Crawford back in 1965 when I was attached to the homicide detail in Los Angeles PD. Mrs. Crawford was the former Edith Burbank. She was the youngest daughter of a wealthy family in Baltimore. Only when I saw her, she was never going to enjoy her money anymore. She was dead. Her throat had been cut by one of those, quote, mysterious intruders, unquote, that the papers like to write about. Her husband, Don, was broken-hearted, naturally. Had only been married 4 weeks. But her death also made him some money. Not a fortune, really. There was a mix-up about her will, and he ended up with nothing but a handsome payoff from the family. Mrs. Carey, you okay?
I can't believe I'm sitting here listening to this.
I won't be long, I promise. Anyway, I was assigned to the Crawford case, and I didn't exactly cover myself with glory.
You mean you never found the mysterious intruder?
That's right.
So naturally, you decided that maybe there wasn't any.
Let me go on, Mrs. Carey, okay?
Yes, yes, go on.
Anyway, I ran into a similar case about 4 years ago. The murder of a young bride fresh from her honeymoon, a broken-hearted groom named David Chase. I thought Chase and Crawford were one and the same man. But I couldn't convince the district attorney of the resemblance. But I am still convinced, Mrs. Carey.
And you think Dan is the same person?
Oh, he's changed again, of course. His hair is lighter than Chase's. He's thinner and paler. But there's something about the face I can't forget.
And even if it's true, you still have no proof. Is that it? You couldn't solve your case, so you're holding on to your first solution.
Wait, Mrs. Carey. Let me tell you why I was so sure that Crawford and Chase were the same man. It was because of the honeymoon.
What?
It's my theory that their honeymoons were identical. A compulsive honeymoon, you might say.
That is ridiculous.
Criminals are like that. Creatures of habit, most of them. Afraid to change a pattern, maybe for fear that their luck will change with it.
What do you mean by it?
I stumbled on the coincidence accidentally. But as far as I could trace it, Don Crawford and David Chase took their brides to the same places. They did the same things. And I knew that if I ever saw that pattern duplicated, I would have my killer. I hope I'm wrong, Mrs. Carey, but you are the only one who can tell me. And my first question is this. Was your first stop Chicago?
Yes. Yes, of course it was. And you knew that. That's where we first saw you, in Chicago, in that restaurant.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
You can't possibly make something out of that. Dan wanted to see people in the Chicago office, and I thought it would be nice to visit my aunt in Evanston. She's my family.
Was your next stop after Chicago in Texas?
Yes. We went to Dallas. Dallas is a wonderful place to visit, Lieutenant. I don't see anything so peculiar about that.
Both Chase and Crawford went to Dallas. They chose offbeat hotels. I guess they didn't care to be seen very much. Where did you stay in Dallas?
It was a perfectly nice hotel. I don't think you could describe it as offbeat.
All right. And then the next stop would be Monterey.
You knew we were in Monterey because that's where I saw you the second time.
By that time, Mrs. Carey, I'd made up my mind to follow you.
Are you saying that these supposed wife killers you're talking about also went to Monterey?
Yes, they did. And from Monterey to Las Vegas.
Well, then you're wrong, Lieutenant. You're completely wrong.
You mean you didn't go to Vegas?
No. So there goes your famous theory, doesn't it?
Well, I admit I'm
surprised. Changed our mind about Vegas. We decided that we might be too tempted to gamble away all the money we had for the trip.
Ah, so you did have it on the schedule.
Well, yes. Yes, we did, but we didn't go.
You really think that changes the pattern? The fact that you didn't go.
Oh, please, I can't stand any more of this. I don't want to hear any more of it.
Mrs. Carey, Edith Burbank was killed in Los Angeles, in her hotel room, this hotel.
I'm leaving.
Mrs. Carey, wait.
You're wrong. You've got Dan mixed up with someone else.
Let me finish, please. Just one more moment.
Oh, please, no. Please, let me go.
Well, there you are.
Oh. I didn't realize that you were back already.
Yeah, I told you I wouldn't be gone more than half an hour. I thought you'd be in the room.
I went downstairs to get a magazine.
Didn't they have any?
Well, I guess I forgot to buy one. I got to looking in the windows of the dress shops, and I forgot my original purpose completely.
Susan, are you okay?
Of course. Why do you ask?
I don't know. You've got that funny look in your eyes again.
Have I?
Doesn't matter. They're still the two most beautiful eyes in the world. Hey, what is this? Don't tell me the honeymoon's over so soon.
Why do you say that?
That was like kissing a snowman.
I guess I just don't feel like myself today. I think maybe... all this traveling has worn me down a little.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, we don't have much further to go. Just one more plane trip to San Francisco.
Yes.
Look, maybe you'd rather not go out tonight. Maybe you ought to stay in, order some dinner in the room. I don't mind.
But you wanted to go to that restaurant, the one you told me about. You've been looking forward to it.
The Landmark? Yeah. Well, I did want to try the place. It's supposed to be really spectacular.
But you've never eaten there before.
Well, no, how could I? I've never been in L.A. before.
I was thinking today that, well, you seemed to know the city so well when we drove around. You didn't seem to have the slightest trouble.
Streets are very well marked in this town. It's really a pleasure to drive here. Look, you know what I think? I think you ought to take a nap before dinner.
Yes. I was thinking of lying down, but I don't think I can sleep.
Okay, then. Just read your magazine. Wait a minute. You haven't got one. I'll take care of that.
Where are you going?
Going to get my bride something to read. How about a nice magazine about cooking? You know, I never did ask you if you can cook.
Just
get me a news magazine of some kind, all right?
Uh-huh, the brainy type. I should have known. See you in 10 minutes. I'll take the key so you won't have to get up.
Yes. All right. Oh, dear God. It can't be true. It just can't be any truth to what that man said. He's made a mistake. Luggage. His initials, D.C. Oh, but anyone could have those initials. Anyone. I wonder if... It's open. Oh, for heaven's sake, what am I doing? Checking my husband's luggage like some kind of hotel thief. No. I won't do it. I won't. Going to believe any of it. I won't. Who's that? Hello?
Mrs. Carey, it's Gail Harrington.
Leave me alone. Stop bothering me.
You shouldn't have run off like that, Mrs. Carey. You didn't give me a chance to finish what I was saying.
I told you, I don't want to hear anymore. It isn't true. You've made a mistake, Lieutenant.
Your husband is at the newsstand right now, Mrs. Carey. I can see him from where I'm standing at the house phones. The more I look at him, the more sure I am that I'm right.
No, you're wrong.
I want you to hear the rest of the story about Crawford and David Chase and what they did on their honeymoon. Maybe what I told you before didn't convince you, but if you heard a few more things...
I'm going to hang up, Lieutenant, right now.
I wanted you to know where Don Crawford took his wife the night she was murdered in a room. He took her to a restaurant called The Landmark. You ever hear of it? Mrs. Carey? Hey, are you listening?
No. No, I'm not listening. I won't listen.
And so Susan Carey seems to have a date at the Landmark restaurant in Los Angeles with her loving husband, Dan. If she keeps the date, something tells me that she's not going to do their cuisine very much justice, because one needs peace of mind to enjoy good food. Fear affects the salivary glands, and terror ruins the taste buds. I'll be back shortly with Act Three.
I'm Hi Brown, producer of Radio Mystery Theater, and I'm most enthusiastic about this new adventure in modern radio. Here's what listeners are telling us. Your program was absolutely great. Don't oil the door. Or again, you've got yourself a winning show. We'd like your reactions, too. Right now, we're in the last week of our drawing for 50 prizes a week. 2 AM-FM stereo phonos, 2 travel clock radios, and 46 anthologies of modern suspense. Just mail your name and address, and you're eligible, to Mystery Theater, Box 50, Radio City Station, New York, 10019. That's Box 50, Radio City Station, New York, 10019. Entries must be postmarked no later than Saturday, January 26. Offer good everywhere unless locally prohibited.
We wish to thank the many listeners who have called and written KIXI, complimenting us on the new CBS Mystery Theater, aired nightly on KIXI at 10:07 p.m. However, we have received many calls requesting the program be aired on KIXI FM every night instead of Sundays only. One of the reasons cited is the problem many of our listeners have in receiving KIXI clearly over their AM radio because of various signal difficulties. In an effort to eliminate these signal problems, KIXI has applied for an increase in power to 50,000 watts. We need your help. If you can't sufficiently hear us, please write KIXI, 801 Pine Street, Seattle 98101. That's KIXI, 801 Pine Street, Seattle 98101. Thank you.
Give us your watts. Give us your watts. We want your watts. We will take them. Oh, man, this is a good story. Now it's getting more than coincidental what's going on with this husband deal.
Yeah, it almost first seemed at first that Mason Adams was going to be the creepy guy, but now as things add up, he's not so much the creepy guy, is he?
Yeah. No, I don't know. Maybe he is a creepy guy. I still have that rattling around in the back of my head, but...
Yeah.
But it seems a bit more than coincidence about the husband, if you believe the Mason Adams character.
I don't know. One police officer, a detective, several states away.
When in doubt, trust none of them.
Trust no one.
That's right.
X-File. Do 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 do. Ding, ding, ding. Oh, sorry. Now I'm going to get that theme in my head all night long.
Yep, and it was your own fault.
Yep, no one to blame for.
Watch a bunch of those episodes just to get that out of your head.
There you go.
Binge
actually,
watch.
I do love X-Files. And actually, I saw something. One, I didn't know that... Dana Scully was actually, she was an English actress. I had no idea from the X-Files that she was an English actress. And,
Gillian Anderson, yeah.
Gillian, yeah, she's, I saw her on some big British promo thing, and I said, what's she doing there? But anyway, I saw her in an interview, and they said, would you ever consider, because last time they did that series of, 10 episodes, she said she would never reprise her role again. Which kind of meant it was dead in the water. But she said just back in September in a talk show she was in over there, they said, would you consider redoing this? She said, well, if the circumstances are right and I was available, I would consider it. So
I need, I need the money.
Exactly.
Right.
That's the crux of the situation. Here's a good point.
Yep.
And
she didn't, they asked her why, you know, because of course, David Duchovny, he always got paid more than her during the series. And then during the specials, the two extraordinary series that they did, you know, 10 years, 12 years later, whatever. What she did is she let David Duchovny, his team negotiate because she said they were better at negotiating. Then when he got his settlement, she said, I'll have what he has. And,
yeah.
And she got it.
Yeah.
And so
and
she doesn't fuss about it. She let
negotiate.
Them. Right. And she didn't even have to negotiate. She said, you give me what he has or forget it, you know? And so.
Exactly. It was bad enough when the show first took off, I can understand. She was really not a known entity. And he had one or two semi sort of known movies. He wasn't that well known. So he got more money in the beginning.
But
when the show
took
off, she had to threaten to walk or, you know, come up with more cash. They finally came up with more money. But the fact that she had to go through this whole rodeo again in the 21st century is just, you know, forget about it. Sigourney Weaver had to do the same thing in the Alien franchise when they wanted to do Aliens. Yes, when they wanted to do Aliens 3, they weren't going to pay her more. She said, you have to cough up. I think she demanded $1 million up front.
Did she put her pinky by her corner of her mouth when she said $1 million?
Well, remember she did have a shaved head in Alien 3, you know. But yeah,
yep.
He goes on. Same thing with Jennifer Lawrence. She's doing a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio. They're both Oscar winners. She's got The Hunger Games under her belt and other great movies, and she's getting paid less. Supposedly, she has said she's all right with it. I sincerely doubt that, but there you are.
Yeah. I kind of like, you know, male, female, whomever. I like seeing the little guy win when it comes to negotiations like that. With the possible exception of sports, because there is no little guys in sports.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, with you guys, everything's equal. I mean, I make as much off of this show as you two do.
That's right. That's right.
Wait. Well, now we got to. You shouldn't have said that out loud. Now I got to make an adjustment.
What was that? What? That Thundercat shirt is still a hot topic. You owe me.
Probably. Oh, goodness. Nah, we're here for the fun.
It's certainly for the money.
Yeah. This is money of which you speak. You don't always need to have money to have a good time. As we keep proving week after week after week.
It's like you're trying to tell my wife she doesn't buy that. I don't know what it is, you know?
Yeah, mine either.
They won't buy that for a dollar. Neither will I.
Yeah, well, still. More fun than humans should be allowed. That's what we're having.
Yes.
No.
The extraterrestrial.
No.
God.
Oh, no.
Let's continue now.
The
balance of Deadly Honeymoon. So we have time to squeak in some more fun stuff. Besides that, I want to find out how this story ends.
Ooh.
As we wrap up CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Well, what have we here? A quiet meal for two at the Landmark Restaurant? No. We seem to be in a hotel room. The same room in which we last saw our honeymooning couple, Susan and Dan Carey. Obviously, there's been a change of plan. Room service has provided the meal for the two lovers this evening. Can it be that Susan Carey has decided that if there is a pattern, it must be broken?
Have some more wine, honey?
No. I really don't think I want any.
Hey, come on. You know what this bottle cost.
You shouldn't have been so extravagant.
Uh-oh. That sounds more like a wife than a bride.
Well, $18 is an awful lot for a wine, Dan. Especially when I really can't drink that much of it.
I just wanted to make up. Well, never mind.
You mean for not taking me to the Landmark?
No, it doesn't really matter. I told you, it's fun to eat in the room. Very elegant.
I'm sure you were disappointed there.
No, I really wasn't. Look, we're not going to be very far from Los Angeles. We'll probably fly down from San Francisco a few times a year.
There are dozens of wonderful restaurants in San Francisco, too, aren't there?
So they tell me. I'll ask the guys at the office for recommendations.
I think this food is quite good, don't you?
Yeah, sure. It's fine. Tastes even better with the wine.
Well, all right. I have some more, I guess.
That a girl. Now, look, I'm not trying to get you drunk, you understand, so I can take advantage of you. Although, come to think of it...
Dan, oh, don't! You almost knocked the table over.
Sorry, I guess I got a little carried away. You look very delectable in that robe.
Oh, did you really like it?
Irresistible.
I didn't take much of a wardrobe with me.
You said you were going to buy clothes in San Francisco.
Yes. If I can find out where to go,
I'll take you down to Union Square. I hear that's the place. Oh, I have told you about the weekend, haven't I?
No. What about it?
Well, I thought we'd get our first look at the town by taking one of those Circle Line cruises. Is that okay with you?
Oh, yes. That sounds lovely. I love to see places by water.
And if we can squeeze it in, we might go picnicking in Golden Gate Park. They've got this Japanese tea garden. It's supposed to be very nice.
Yes. All sounds wonderful, Dan.
Susan, I just wish you felt better.
Maybe you ought to check with the hotel doctor in case you picked up a bug or something.
Do I look that bad to you?
No. You look just great to me, darling. Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea, honey. Reserve the car ahead of time. Then we can pick it up right away in San Francisco.
Whatever you think, Dan.
You wait right here. I'll go over to the counter.
It's all right.
Be back in 10 minutes.
All right, Dan.
Mrs. Carey.
Oh, no. Not you again.
I didn't mean to startle you.
Go away. Please go away. I don't want to see you anymore. I hear anything you have to say.
Now, I know that I seem to be persecuting you or something.
As you can see, Lieutenant, I am in perfectly good health. I was not murdered in my sleep in that hotel room.
Look, Mrs. Carey, I've only got a few minutes before your husband gets back. I just wanted to finish my story about this other guy, this David Chase.
I don't care if you are a policeman. I'll call someone and have you arrested for bothering me.
David Chase's wife didn't get killed in Los Angeles. She died in San Francisco.
Where? In her hotel room?
No, not there. But they stayed at the San Remo. Is that where you're staying?
Yes. But millions of people do.
No, there wasn't any mysterious intruder this time. In fact, Mrs. Chase's death was listed officially as an accident. She had a little too much to drink at dinner, and her feet got tangled up on top of a very steep hill. The fall broke her neck. It was her very first day in San Francisco. She and her husband had quite a day, too. They took one of those boat cruises to see the city. Then they went to Golden Gate Park, to the Japanese Tea Garden. Miss Carey, are you okay?
No. No, I'm not okay. How could I be?
That night they went to a restaurant called the Vendome. That's where the lady drank too much, at least according to her husband.
Oh, dear God.
Listen, Mrs. Carey, I can't follow you anymore. I've got a job to get back to. I want you to take this.
Gun.
Quiet. Don't draw anyone's attention to us. Just take it. If I'm wrong and you don't need it, fine. Just throw it away.
No. I don't want
I cannot have you on my conscience, don't you understand?
All right. Yes, all right. I'll take it. I still say you're wrong.
I hope so. But I don't think I am.
Hello?
Mrs. Carey?
Yes?
This is the message desk. Your husband left a message here for you at 4 o'clock.
Oh, I've been out until now.
Hey, would you like me to read it to you?
Yes, please.
It says, we'll be at the office until 6. Should be there no later than 6:30. Love, Dan.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much.
Welcome. Bye.
Bye. I keep staring at his luggage. Why can't I just forget about it? No. It isn't dishonest. It's just something I have to do. No, no, nothing in this one but clothing. This one has papers and things. All his documents, birth certificate, honorable discharge, U.S. Navy, Daniel Eldon Carey. That is his name. It is. That man Harrington was wrong. Doesn't this mean he was wrong? Or does it just mean that... No. I'm not going to start thinking that way. He's so glad... Photographs. Maybe his family. Oh, no, wait. His picture is signed. It's your pretty girl. To Dan. All my love forever, Edith. Edith. What was the name he said? That policeman. What was the name that man's wife was? Wasn't it Edith? Oh, no.
Who is it?
It's me, honey.
Oh, 1 second.
Hi, sweetheart.
Sorry.
I forgot to pack my key.
Hey,
I'm not late, am I? I told him at the desk I'd be back at 6. Well, it's not even that. Hey, why is it so dark in here, Susan?
Oh, I just got back myself. I didn't think of turning on all the lights.
Susan, I have a confession to make. I wasn't at the office at all. My new staff thought they ought to christen the new boss.
I tell you one thing about San Francisco. It's a hard-drinking town.
Susan, what's the matter?
Dan, I found her picture.
What?
I found her picture. Your first wife.
What are you talking about? I was never married.
Then what's her picture doing in your luggage?
Hey, what's going on here? You must be drunk as
I am. Don't
come
near me. Stay away from me, Dan.
Susan, are you out of your head?
I saw her picture. Do you hear me? I found her picture on our honeymoon.
Now, wait a minute. Do you mean Edith?
I know all about her. Yes, and about the other one. She drank too much, too, didn't she? She was drunk, too.
Now, look, will you calm down?
Is that what you were planning to do tonight? Get me drunk? At the restaurant. You were going to take me out to dinner tonight, weren't you?
Of course I was. I asked one of the guys if he...
Well, I can tell you the restaurant he picked. Do you want me to tell you the name of the restaurant, Dan? It's the Vendome, isn't it?
What? Well, yes. It is. How did you know that?
Because I know it all. I know everything. Oh! No, don't come near me. I'll call the police.
Now, Susan, look. I don't know what the trouble is, but you've got to be sick. You need help.
No, don't come any closer.
You've been acting funny ever since we left Chicago.
I warn you. Look.
My God.
I've got a gun.
Susan, put that down.
I'm not going to end up like them.
Give me that thing, Susan.
Don't. Oh, don't, Dad,
Susan.
Please.
Susan,
I don't want to shoot you.
One second. Well.
Mr. Harvey?
Mrs. Carey, I didn't know that you were... Look, let me just get a shirt on. I was just shaving.
I'm sure you're surprised to see me, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I didn't expect that you'd... What brings you back to L.A.?
I'm sure you know, Mr. Harvey. That is the right name, isn't it? Not Harrington?
I guess that means you know all about my little joke.
The gun wasn't a joke, was it? The gun was real.
Now, look, I can tell you're upset, but I didn't mean any harm. I mean, I like Dan. I really do.
You despised my husband, Mr. Harvey. Why don't you admit it? You hated the fact that he got the job you wanted in San Francisco. And all you got was an assistant manager's job in Chicago.
You are wrong. I just thought it'd be a good gag, a good joke on Danny Boy.
Yes, I've heard about your reputation. The great practical joker. You thought of a great one this time.
Yeah, but that's all it was.
You gave Dan the itinerary for our honeymoon trip. You were just being helpful, of course. You gave him all the names and places. All the benefit of your traveling experience.
That was the gag. See, I thought if Dan took you to all the places I listed for
him... You even knew about Edith, the girl he was once engaged to, the one who died. She became his murder victim in your little fantasy. What did you think would happen, Mr. Harvey? Did I get frightened enough to kill Dan so that you might get the job he took away from you?
Listen, is Dan all right?
I thought you might want this back, Mr. Harvey. Your gun.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Don't do anything stupid.
Oh, you don't have to worry. I found out that I'm a terrible shot.
Then Dan's alive?
See for yourself.
Hello, Marty.
Dan! Thank heavens you're okay. Look, Dan, I didn't mean for anything serious to happen.
See the bandage, Marty?
just a flesh wound in my arm. I'll be okay.
I'm glad to hear it, Danny. Honest, I am.
But I am learning to use my left arm, though. Like
wait a minute. Wait a minute. Oh, no. No, don't. Please. I didn't mean to. Don't hit me again.
Relax, Marty. I've got better things to do. I've got a honeymoon to finish. Although, with any luck, it'll never end.
So you see, even murder stories can have happy endings. Martin Harvey may have spoiled Susan and Dan's honeymoon, but that doesn't mean he managed to spoil their marriage. No. If that's going to happen, Susan and Dan will take care of that all by themselves. I'll be back shortly.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
But they advertised this chair for $50, and now they won't sell it to me. They're even trying to get me to buy one for $100. Isn't there anyone who can tell me what to do?
I can, madam.
But who are you?
I am the man from the Better Business Bureau. When someone advertises an item and then won't sell it to you when you come into the store, or tries to get you to purchase something at a higher price, you may be the victim of a scheme known as bait and switch.
Oh, sir, how can I ever thank you?
No need to thank me, madam. That's what Better Business Bureaus are for, to help consumers get a fair deal.
A purist might claim that the story you have just heard isn't a murder story, since no one was actually killed. The murders, which took place, were all in the imagination of Martin Harvey, who passed them on to the mind of Susan Carey. But it's a good demonstration of the point we've tried to make all along, that the most terrifying crimes can happen within the theater of the mind. Our cast included Betsy von Furstenberg, Michael Wager, Elspeth Eric, and Mason Adams. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
What are you thinking about, child?
The day you said it was bad luck for us to see each other before the wedding.
Nobody believes those old wives' tales.
Nobody believes so many things that are outside the ordinary. Did you see Michael's body after?
Don't talk about that, lass.
I know they said the horse trampled him. I asked Dr. Ferguson about the hooves, and he wouldn't tell me. You'd tell me, wouldn't you, Jeannie?
Oh, tell you what?
Were they like horseshoes, or were they cleft in two? Were they cloven hooves?
In the name of God, what are you saying?
I'm not speaking of God. I'm speaking of the devil.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
To hear Mystery Theater tomorrow night at 10:07 on KIXI.
Kixie 1260 Super Radio.
Wixie.
Ah, that's different.
Yes.
Fun radio station from our past, Wixie 1260.
And an excellent story, wonderful kind of switcheroo ending there.
Yeah, it was so good, you didn't mind being ripped off of No Killing. I didn't even mind being cheated out of a nice murder.
No corpse.
There's several things we can learn from the story, but I do know one thing that we can learn from it. I do.
More prepared than you thought, Eerie House Radio proudly presents the garrulous moral of the story.
It's apologies to Brother Gar. When a strange man comes up to you and accuses your new husband of murder, ask for proof and not just 90 proof. There you go.
This is about as close as we come to canned laughter. It's about all we can afford, but we at least we can get some canned laughter.
Yes. But gee, we have a little bit of time, so looks like the honeymoon might not quite be over, Dale.
It's never over on Eerie House Radio, but see, does I got me a coin here? Let's see.
It's a real treat to be here, and to open the show, I'd like to introduce the Martin Men, who will take you on an Abba Dabba honeymoon.
Abba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba, said the chimpy to the monk. Abba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba, said the monkey to the chimp. All night long they chatter away, all day long they were happy and gay. Swinging and singing in the honky-tonky way. Abba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba means monk, I love what you. Dabba dabba dabba, little monkey talk means chimp, I love you too.
Then the big baboon one night in June, he married them and very soon
they went upon their abba dabba honeymoon. Honeymoon, honey, honey, honeymoon.
I think was one of the lead singer on that they got the lines by themselves, was one of the only Merv Griffin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep.
Seriously?
Was at this time he was with, Mike Douglas, who we know from his Cleveland days before he went national, he was with Kay Kaiser and his orchestra. He did had a hit with Kay Kaiser with the old Lamplighter.
Really?
Oh, sorry about that. Yep.
I will be Hornswoggle.
Well, you know what? We have one other tune in there that's kind of appropriate for our show tonight, Dale. Shall I reach over and put a nickel in the slot?
Nah, just bump the side of it like the Fonz, and we could probably get it done that way.
All right. Well, let me know.
Freddie, as one Martin to another, I hope you don't mind if I break in here. You know, when I first got here, I heard you and the band doing a little something. I think it was called Never Been Kissed. Hope you intend to include it on this show. I think it's great.
Well, thank you, Bob. I certainly do intend to. It's one of our most requested tunes. So for you and for all the listeners who seem to enjoy it, here is Never Been Kissed.
Oh, I know a gal who's a treat to the eye. Boys always whistle when she passes by. She's out every night, not a night has she missed. But her mother says that she's never been kissed.
What? Never been kissed, never been kissed. It's hard to believe that she's never been kissed.
One night she went out for a row on the lake, and the guy she was with dropped the oars by mistake. They drifted for hours before they were missed, but she still insists that she's never been kissed.
What? Never been kissed, never been kissed. It's hard to believe that she's never been kissed.
Metaphor.
A wealthy young man took a liking to her and gave her some presents of jewelry and fur, including a diamond as big as your fist. Yet she'll take an oath that she's never been kissed. What? Never been kissed, never been kissed. It's hard to believe that she's never been kissed.
Now there's a new book they're all talking about, called Lessons in Love. You've read it, no doubt. I hear that it just made the bestseller list. Well, it's written by her and she's never been kissed.
What? Never been kissed, never been kissed. It's hard to believe that she's never been kissed. She married the best cat in town, by the way, and said to the girls as she threw her bouquet,
just keep the boys guessing and always insist that you're a girl who has never been kissed. Now the end of this story is sad, and here's why. I saw her today with a tear in her eye. I asked her the reason why she was so blue, and the answer she gave me I'll pass on to you.
Never been kissed, never been kissed.
She married a man who has never been kissed.
What?
What? Clearly a metaphor of sorts.
Yeah, some of these old songs have so much fun. I'm telling you,
they are.
And I think that was Freddie Martin singing the lead on that particular song there. Yeah,
that was in the spirit of shaving cream, almost.
Yeah, almost. Almost.
It's a la, what was it? Oh, yeah, Hipster Harry. Who put the Benzedrine in Mrs. What's-Her-Name's Ovaltine?
Yes. A Dr. D classic. Dr.
Yep.
D Mento.
Absolutely. Yep, but he, I think he encouraged some people to record things and send it. You know, that might not have ever gotten heard thanks to the amazing amazing Dr. Demento that is really
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, Uncle Dick was in touch with him for a long time and really helped Uncle Vic out initially when he came out with his first hit, Space Invaders, back in the 70s.
Yep.
Space Invaders.
Yep.
So he
yep.
would, well, every time he came up with a novelty tune, he'd play in nightclubs and stuff, but when he'd come up with a novelty tune, he'd send it off to Dr. D. At least it would get some airtime. It would, you know.
Yeah.
Got the exposure.
Or in this case, some streaming time anyway.
Yeah. Some songs that have that sort of double entendre did go mainstream. And look at Chuck Berry's My Ding-a-Ling. That...
I'd rather not.
Definitely.
Silver bells hanging on the string. That was his ding-a-ling. Come on.
I'm closing my eyes. Thank you very much.
Silver bells hanging on the string. That was his ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Yes, it was. Totally innocuous. I don't see what the fuss was all about. I really don't.
Me neither. And we all have our own little ding-a-lings, don't we?
No,
I don't believe I should answer that. So many reasons why I'm not going to answer.
It's
that.
All my fault. I started the avalanche. I'm the one who did it. The avalanche is just rolling down the hill, taking out the village.
You should know.
Just for that, you got to come back next Saturday. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Your penance. Should you choose to accept it?
I must walk the cyber walk of shame and come back.
Cyber walk of shame. that's what being a co-host on Erie House is all about. It's the cyber
that's
walk
right.
of shame. That
you've finally been completely initiated into the club.
Yeah, that was comedy gold, dear. That was comedy gold.
That's platinum, Mr. Platinum.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough.
Platinum encrusted with dilithium crystals. So there.
Here you got dilithium crystals? Why not?
Oh, so Dale, what's happening on Erie House next week?
Provided that we don't fold up the tent, it is that voodoo that you do so well. That's right. It's a voodoo kind of weekend with Escape, Johnny Dollar, and Macabre. No, Macabre. That's
Macabre.
Friday. That's Friday at 8:30. And then come on back next Saturday because we got more CBS Radio Mystery Theater, The House
Woo-hoo!
Of the Voodoo Queen.
Ooh.
Yep.
Good story. I can't wait to share it.
And then beyond that, I have no idea.
Oh, really? Do I not have anything beyond that? Well, I guess we need a call, don't we?
Yeah. Well, we gotta finish our plans for Christmas. And who knows what kind of special stuff might happen at Christmas? We might turn your stomach.
Yep. I hope not. That's what candy canes are for.
Yes.
Right down the stomach.
That's what casseroles are for.
Casserole. That's what rum cake is for. or fruit cake.
I'll go for the rum cake first.
Now, I have not seen an actual fruit cake probably in 30 years. And...
Well, that big rock in the back of your backyard, it looks kind of odd. It's probably a fruit that your neighbor threw in the backyard.
Yeah, hurled it back there.
Who is it that has the theory that there's only one fruitcake in the world and it keeps getting exchanged every year? I forget which comedian that is. But
it's the same fruitcake. Oh, God.
The same fruitcake. Yep.
I don't know. We'll ponder that. Until we see you next Friday at 8:30 Eastern. Thanks, Fogsbane, and good old Bob, as he took off. Thank you, CW, for joining us. Thank you, Dave, for being my partner. Thank you, everyone.
And to all a good night.
Cheerio, mate.
We need to have more fun here. We need to have more fun.
Just buying a little time for laughter. Yep, buying a little time for our boy Vic, Vincent.
Vince, yeah, good old Vince.
Yeah, Vince, come on in here a minute. You gotta take us out and kind of do it in a timely fashion. fashion this time, but of course I blew it because the Blog Talk's clock is off.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her, me. I'm here.
And her, yep. No, the timer was way, 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 way off. I thought I was right on top of it. All of a sudden, I hear it go 10 seconds. I'm like, damn it. I should have started Vince about 10 seconds ago. And meanwhile, my counter said I had like 30 or 40 seconds left.
You know what I found today? I went up to the exchange, and I have the complete collection of all 52 episodes of Clutch Cargo. Actually, all 52, not episodes, but all stories. And each story had 5 episodes.
And you're admitting this publicly.
Yes! I love Clutch Cargo. The good old Synchrobox where they have storyboards with animated lips.
Yes.
Were those animated lips or human lips?
Actually, they were photographed lips that were put
live action lips
that were superimposed onto the film strip. Yeah.
Yeah. Live
so that's
action.
How they did it. An
yes.
Interesting phenomena.
It's called Synchrobox. The guy for this company, that's how he made the. Animals talk in the late 50s and 60s on commercials was using the
yes.
Synchrobox.
I remember that.
Well, don't be unkind to Dave. I happen to be a huge fan of Sailor Moon, and I have a nice collection of Sailor Moon little cards.
Cool.
Sailor Moon, I'm not familiar with that one.
That is,
I believe it's
Asian anime, is it not?
It most certainly is.
Oh, anime, I see.
Yes.
Yes. Fighting evil by midnight, living love by daylight, with her sailor scouts to help her fight, she's the one and only Sailor Moon. How dare you not know Sailor Moon? I'm hanging up.
I'm
wait a minute. I know Sailor Moon. I don't know it well. I believe my daughter is a bit of a fan, or is or was, of Sailor Moon.
I don't know, once a fan, always a fan, right?
Yes, indeed.
Do I get any redemption from my association here with my daughter?
Vaguely. Vaguely.
Right. Yeah, for Dale, it's what? My marriage is related there, yeah. To a daughter, yeah.
See, I purposely avoided it because it looked like a girl in a sailor outfit, and I'm thinking, yeah, 60-year-old guy looking at a girl dressed like a schoolgirl. Yeah, no. So I'm like, yeah, I'll pass. And I just don't need that. I don't need that association with me at all.
You just keep your eye on Wonder Woman. There you go.
Absolutely.
That was different. We were that was different because we were what about 14 when that was on, right?
Probably, I'd say, yeah, pretty close.
Yeah. Maybe 8 when Police Woman was on. Maybe 8 when Police Woman was on. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't do Police Woman. I didn't watch Police Woman.
Didn't you really?
Nah, not a lot.
Sergeant Pepper Anderson? You missed out on that? Oh, Dale.
Hey, what about Xena Warrior Princess? Or could you take
yeah,
that there
I
was
liked.
A girl who could really kick butt.
She was cool. I liked her.
Yes.
Yeah,
Xena, I liked.
True.
I
got
Sam Raimi in there too, didn't we? With Xena?
Oh, heck yeah.
Early Sam Raimi? Yep.
Not that early, but yeah, Sam Raimi was in there, and also,
See, but I didn't like the Hercules. I liked Xena, but I didn't like the Hercules.
Hercules, Kevin Sorbo, that was come
yeah,
but she was, actually, she span off from Hercules, and her show eventually did better than Hercules, The Legendary Journeys, which she spun off from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What was the guy's name, Campbell, who was Ash in the Evil Dead movies? Campbell.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Glenn.
He did a few times. Yes, not Glenn. Yeah,
oh,
right.
I didn't kill him. I'm thinking that nice ass.
Poop.
Oh, my goodness. This is fun. This is good. This is why we like to have you here, too, because of this great trivia, this cross trivia. Some things we both know, some things we don't know at all.
I don't know nothing.
Yep. No, that's not true.
You are a true radio head, Dave. You are definitely a radio head.
I consider him a savant with radio. Well,
and you know the thing is with when this Mystery Theater was on and Dale and I were 14 years old. Actually, I was 13 when it started, 14 before the first season was over. I'd already been into radio for already a couple of years. So it was my dad that turned me onto the Radio Mystery Theater.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I wish I had more encouragement with radio, and I wish I had stumble. And I did play a lot with I even had a shortwave for a while, radio that I was playing with to try. And oh, you could pick up all kinds of crazy stuff. I remember picking up like television channels, playing stuff that wasn't being aired in my community off of this thing. And because there was like the old Fantastic Four cartoon, which I was dying to see again. It had been years.
But I did not stumble
on Mystery, you know, CBS Radio Mystery Theater. I would have absolutely loved it. I completely missed it. Bad deal.
Yeah. Yeah, especially since it was right here in Cleveland, too, you know.
Yep. Bad deal. Bad.
But that makes it all fresh and new for you today.
It does. It is like tuning into a brand new show. And, you know, even I am sure. Well, here, I know for a fact, because my own experiences, you know, some of the sitcoms we grew up on, you might have watched it every week, but, you know, 30, 40 years later, you watch something and say, I don't quite remember this one. Or you saw it with such a different aspect at that age. It's like seeing something new all over again.
Well, you know, there's some things that like, I watched Mork and Mindy. I loved it. I set time out every week to catch Mork and Mindy. And, you know, off for a long time, and it came back into syndication, and stations picked it up. I started watching it. Oh, Mork and Mindy's back on. I watched it. I can't believe I watched this. They made schedule every day. It didn't age well for me, okay? It didn't. And I think they're finding out that Friends isn't aging well amongst those that were really big on it when it first aired. But Mystery Theater airs just as well today as it did, you know, for 40 years ago, over 40 years ago.
It must, because being as it feels new for me, it certainly ages well.
And, you know, and one of the biggest criticisms about the Mystery Theater was that it was too old-fashioned, and the language was old-fashioned, and the characters were old-fashioned, the writing was old-fashioned, which I don't always agree with. Maybe in some episodes, some of it may have slipped up, but, you know, for the most part, I thought it was, but in the first place, that's why Hyman Brown brought it back. He said it was as a gift to those that loved the old radio dramas and stuff. And it wanted it to be the old radio dramas.
Half of the shows were period pieces anyways, where it kind of doesn't matter.
Right. But there was so much more science fiction in there than, unless the show was pure science fiction, like X-1 or Beyond Tomorrow or Beyond 2000, whatever, you know, whatever show that was specifically about science fiction. There was so much more science fiction in the Mystery Theater than any other regular drama. Suspense never really had it until the late 50s when they lost their big stars and their big budgets. They started exploring different types of stories, and science fiction was one of them they really explored. that they didn't in the early years at all.
Yeah, well, X minus one is still my all-time favorite. It's just the best.
It, as far as the anthology sci-fi series, you'll find none better than X minus one.
I do love it myself. It's probably my favorite. I just love that period, too, because it spawned so much of the films that I grew up with and loved.
Well, and I think so much of it was because of the Red Scare and the, you know, and the bomb shelters and all that. It came from the Red Scare and wrapping it into stories and such. It's just using people and Martians and stuff to signify things to come. You know,
yeah.
And this made it great.
Yep, and it was interesting to see some of the answers to the nuclear scare and stuff like that, too. Films like The Day the Earth Stood Still, you know, was a stark warning to, you know, to knock it off. You guys can blow yourselves
up
here.
It's interesting you say that because I did start to build a weekend on warnings from space. And that would definitely, although that's a movie, that's the kind of thing, a warning from space about us destroying ourselves or about us going out into the universe and destroying the universe.
Yeah. Don't recommend it. It's not good.
Mm.
It's not good.
Yeah.
Not good publicity with other planets, you know. It doesn't look good.
Yeah, there's that. Plus, Burger King still has that special going on for the rest of the day, so you don't want to be
blowing up the planet.
I'm still in line. I'm still in line. But I did move four cars up. I moved four cars up. I'm getting there.
All right. Dream that dream. You know,
so far, I've wasted about 12 gallons of gas waiting to get you online here, but that's okay, because I'm going to get a 63-cent Whopper, yep.
There you go. Well, McDonald's is going to have to match this, and well, what about Wendy's? Wendy's is going to have to match this, and I think Taco Bell was giving away free food earlier this year, weren't they, or something?
I don't know. I went to Burger King, and I don't believe I got that deal. Two Whoppers, two fries, and a chicken fry was like $15. What are they, 37-cent hamburgers and $10 fries? What the hell?
Well, fries is one of the most profitable items. Fries and sodas are the two most profitable items they have.
Oh, yes. You heard the Dollar Tree is now the $1.25 store. They're going to be upping everything 25 cents, $1.25.
Yep, in January. January 1, I think.
Scandalous. I said we'd all go to every Dollar Tree, buy everything out for a dollar, and they have no inventory.
There you go.
Oh, that would really show them, oh, shucks, we don't have anything to sell. We'll have to shut down for half a week before the next truck arrives. And
yeah, and put the new sign up, the dollar and a quarter store.
Yeah, provided,
yeah, I doubt they'll change the name, but because, you know, I went into the Five and Below store this week, and believe it or not, there's things more than $5, so it isn't all Five and Below. So, and they didn't change the name. You know, it's, you know, they could have changed the name to Five and Below Almost, but they didn't.
See, Dollar Tree is at least, and maybe it's deliberately ambiguous. Like, all right, it's a tree of dollars. Whatever.
Tree of dollars. And Five and Below, well, they can, the first letter can stay, but they can change the other three letters to F and Below, which seems to be the name of the game.
Yeah.
It's a conspiracy. Got to stay up, right?
Gentlemen, I must be away. So if I may walk up to the stage to turn the spotlight, if you please, on the one, the only, the Schnozola himself. Kindly take it away.
Good night. It's time to say good night. Night.
but for this sake, a good night. We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the thing, and ink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-doo. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.